Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk episode 23. This is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined today by one of my favorite teams to spectate, one of my favorite teams to hang out with. Luckily, they're stuck with me hanging out for a whole hour today. I get to talk to formerly Nemesis, as of today, Aphelion Esports. What's up, guys?
What's up, man? What? How you doing?
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, Aphelion. I mean, there are some familiar faces from the last time that name was heard around these parts, but some new faces as well. So let's just make sure we do a round of introductions to make sure everybody watching on Twitch and everybody listening in podcast form knows who I'm talking to. So why don't you just introduce who you are, what people might know you for, and then what role you play for the team of Aphelion, formerly Nemesis, your second place March Finals winners. You know. I'll be giving you tons of props throughout the episode. But Archeryu, why don't you kick off the round of introductions?
Well, I'm Archeryu. I main Greenin, mostly known for my Greenin, and I play in top lane.
Very nice. Yes, the iconic Greedent. I think if those two words aren't familiar in your head of Archeryu and Greedent, you haven't been watching very much, but soon to be so. Rex, how about you go next?
All right, name's Rex. Tree main, play tank, carry Eat Fan throughout the game.
Very good. Yeah, pretty much. someone has to, right? All right, Eat Fan, why don't you go next?
My name is Eat Fan, as you guys know. I think I'm mostly known for playing Lucario and Decidueye, mostly. A bunch of other troll picks in bot lane.
I was just going to say, those may be the two most like different picks I could honestly imagine. Lucario and Decidueye.
They are pretty much opposites.
Yes, the exact opposite mentality. But hey, you make it work in server, that's what's important. And then let's round it out, last member that we have on the show today, Trainer. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, my name is Trainer. I play Greninja, and I'm mostly known for it, and I play jungle for Aphelion.
Very, very cool. Well, welcome on the show. Yes, if you are tuning in to podcast, this isn't just a second. I didn't re-upload the Aphelion episode. This is a brand new squad, obviously, as you just heard throughout the introductions. You guys have been signed by Aphelion, Rex, and Archeryu. I believe you were also on that roster at the time. You two were once part of this org, stepped away for a different one. Now you're back. So, Rex, maybe you can talk to me a little bit about this signing. Were you just kind of pulling some strings behind the scene to get the squad signed up, or did Aphelion reach out to you guys wanting to get back into Unite?
So I knew a couple members on our team wanted to get signed. I obviously wanted to get signed because cool. It's good to get money to play this game. So
it's always a positive.
So after March Finals, I started looking for sponsors and stuff, and Aphelion to me gave us the best deal in terms of, certain things about tournament winnings, etc.
Sure.
And it just lined up the best because we still had like Slotty helping us out in the back
to
make the decision easier for us. So we hit them up, but me and Bottle, like the Pokemon Unite director, we've always been cool and we always spoke to one another. So like it's almost like, we've been family the whole time, so it was an easy choice for me.
Yeah, I love to hear that. Very, very cool. Well, awesome. For Trainer and Yeet Fan, this is the first signed organization that you've been a part of. How exciting is that for you? Is this the first time you've been, on a payroll to play video games before?
On an official contract, yeah.
Full contract.
Okay, gotcha. You guys have been a little bit of the mercenary angle for some time, but okay, now you're on the official one. Very, very exciting. That's awesome. I think Aphelion, very cool. You mentioned a couple other members quickly, Rex. Why don't we just give a quick shout out to the other couple members of your squad that round out your whole roster, including your manager?
All right, for sure. There is AZ, my support, my right hand. You already know me and him, like Theorycraft, we talk about the game. Definitely my right hand man when it comes to Zap and all that stuff besides Art. And then Slotty, he's the one that finds all the scrims, makes my job a lot easier.
Yeah.
Before it'd be me looking for a bunch of scrims back when I was on the other roster. He's really dope. He always hooks us up with everything, pretty much. Cool
That's
guy. It.
That's awesome. Yeah, huge shout out to Slotty. I believe the Cramorant main, from what I've heard, so shouts. Shouts to that player and manager for your squad. Because, yeah, that is a huge boon to have. I've had a couple of teams on this show before that have had managers. Every single team has just, you know, saying their praises to the ends of the earth. Like, it is so much nicer not having to have the scrim schedule and everything like that in the back of your mind constantly. You can throw it up to them. They'll take care of it. Shout out, Slotty. Shout out the manager, squad, of your team. But awesome, guys. Well, I'm so excited that you were able to join for today's show. Let's talk a little bit about the inner workings of Aphelion. No, I'm not talking about contract details. I want to know a little bit about, you know, behind the curtain of your own team. When we get to watch your squad dominate on broadcast, like we have a couple of times, we don't get the fun, you know, team comms that are coming from behind the screen. We don't get all of the rage screaming or shouts of celebration. So we get to miss out on all of that. So I want to know every little aspect of the squad I can. Folks, who ints the most on Aphelion?
Definitely Art, 100 million percent.
Okay, a couple of votes here, a couple of votes. Yifan trying to get the blame off almost immediately. Art, I'll bring it up to you. Do you think you int more than Yifan, or is this up to the green bird who's in this role?
The bird.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So a little bit of a shout towards Yeet Fan being the biggest inter. Also, what's up, Asma? Thank you for being in chat and hanging out too. We miss you on the show, but glad you're here too. Okay, so the int Aslan is also giving the vote for Yeet. Yeet, you're pretty outnumbered in this way. I'm sorry to hear that.
They're mad they have to 4v5 dread.
That's true. You're still a bow tie bird. Can't quite make it happen at Dreadnom. That is rough. But hey, it's all for that long term. That's just what you're telling your team the whole time, I hope.
Of course, we scale.
Good. Well, I'm glad that someone's calling it out. You did get thrown under the bus a little bit here, despite your best efforts to throw another member of your team. But let's...
It's really Art, but we won't talk about it on the show, you know?
Of course. We can't tarnish the reputation of the Greedo. Then, Yifan, I'll give you the chance to answer this question. Who is the biggest brain on the team of Aphelion?
I'll let Rex have it. Rex is the main shot caller.
Okay, very, very cool.
He also thinks about most of our strats, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
And, yeah.
Nice. So, Rex, I know last time we talked about this, you were definitely... You were still the caller on your team, but I think you had kind of begrudgingly taken upon that role, I think, last time I interviewed you. But I did want to ask, like, you've been playing this game for quite a long time now since our first episode where we got to interview you. How have you liked, you know, filling into this calling role on multiple different teams now?
So I've been a shot caller for about every game, every MOBA I've ever played in.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been used to it.
Okay.
I dread it because it brings kind of like the toxic side of me, because obviously I'm real, like, I'm hard on myself, but I can also be really hard on my teammates too.
And I
can come off a certain way. But at the end of the day, I just want to win, right? But being a shot caller is extremely stressful, and because, like, the team depends on you to make the right decision at all points of the game. And if you mess up, like, you can't blame anybody. You're the one that made the call. So it's never a fun role, but it's definitely something that, you know, you just got to accept if you want to win.
Not a fun one, but a necessary one, right? That makes a lot of sense. I was giving you some love on Twitter the other day. I've called you the control tower of Unite. I know I really respect Rex's shot calling. Also, this dude's got a Metafy. Go sign up. Metafy.gg/Rex. Make sure that you're getting the prime coaching out of the man. But, okay, awesome. Well, Rex, if you are kind of the, like I call it, the control tower of the team, main shot caller, who do you think then is the underappreciated carry on Aphelion? I know you have, like, a few superstar players, if you want to consider them that way, some really flashy playmaking players, but do you think there is a more underappreciated carry of the team?
100%. Trainer, for sure.
Okay.
Like, he'll make certain calls, like, especially early game, because he's obviously in the jungle, he's able to tell us certain information. AZ is always feeding me info, like, they're both some of the most vocal people I've ever played with,
and it just
makes my job a lot easier, and R as well. Like, I feel like everybody kind of does really well with giving me information, but I'd definitely say Trainer and AZ do really well.
Trainer, yeah, so if you were a very communicative player, not every jungler in Unite right now is that, right? That is, I say, almost a more rare role. Top laners are usually, I say, the quietest amongst the gameplay, but junglers definitely have a responsibility to communicate often. What kind of information are you trying to feed over towards your bot lane, or, of course, your top lane duo of Artreyu when you run up there? What kind of things are you trying to communicate throughout the game?
Usually I try to manage positioning of the enemy team, because as jungler, I look around the map more often.
Hmm.
And I also give advice on whether or not we could push or not.
Sure.
Usually, sometimes I tell them to go back and start farming for level advantages.
Right. Yeah. Yifan is still a baby bird. We can't push. We need to run. I understood. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, cool. Well, guys, the final question I want to know to get to know the inner workings of your team, like I just said, everybody, who's the funniest team member on your team?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Oh,
okay.
It's funniest.
I don't know. I think R and AZ are tied.
Oh, okay. Artreyu and AZ tied for funniest members of the team. Okay, that's awesome. Artreyu, do you find sometimes it's your role to break your team out of tilt? If people are getting a little too upset, do you like to be able to, you know, crack a joke or try to lighten the mood?
I don't know.
Art's not like the typical funny. It's just like how she is. Like she's
the awkward.
She's like she doesn't understand like certain tones, so it's just hilarious when you gotta explain certain things to her.
I got you. I love that. AZ, I don't know if you're upset because you weren't chosen as the sole funniest member, or if you're just happy that you were thrown in the conversation. But awesome. So guys, what does AZ bring to the team in terms of, like, you mentioned comedy, but just like vibes and things like that?
Yeah, I think AZ is more the person that I forgot how you said it already, but kind of until it's like,
okay,
you know, try to lighten the mood or whatever.
That's awesome.
AZ is definitely that kind of guy. He's like really positive and comms, and he's a good person to have.
Yeah, well, you definitely need somebody like that on the team, so that is fantastic. You got someone who's got those vibes like that. Well, fantastic. Well, guys, thanks for letting me take a little peek behind the curtain, if you will, at your team and see the inner workings. I notice you guys haven't been streaming scrims very much, which shout outs to you guys for being competitive. A little bit of a bummer for me that I don't get to watch your scrims all the time, but fair enough. But let's talk about a little bit about these recent events that we've had. Let's jump back, if you can remember, all the way there to March Finals, right? This is, I think, the biggest amount of success that your team has gotten ever since, and what a place to do it. You secured your spot in top four, headed into AOS Cup and all that, a really fantastic run. And you guys were playing a team comp that took pretty much the entire tournament by surprise. So we have a lot to talk about March Finals. But first off, I heard that Yeet was in a little bit of a sticky situation at the start. Yifan, please tell me a little bit about the morning before March Finals kicked off.
That actually happened before the qualifiers.
Gotcha. Okay, well, still, yeah, I need to hear it again.
So yeah, basically there was a tornado warning where I live and it was super windy outside and it was raining and all that. And my internet was basically just only coming back on like once every 20 minutes for like 5 minutes or something like that. So it seemed like I wasn't going to be able to play in the qualifiers, which would have been really bad because we wouldn't have been able to qualify.
No kidding. Wouldn't have been able to qualify. Wouldn't have been able to get top two. Domino situation. So
yes.
Honestly, well, the team probably would have split up. No, because at the time, no. Because I'm being honest. Because at the time, we weren't planning on playing together, right? Like we had all just joined.
We had all just made the team together.
Wow.
What do you want to say? Go ahead, Chen.
It was really rough because I think I was attacker in the other tourney that we did.
Okay.
It not working well because everyone was on an off roll. We had Art jungling.
Yeah, we had just we are our old jungler, me, Rex, Art, and Aznable were on a team for the February qualifiers with a different jungler.
Right, that's right. I remember.
And he ended up not being able to play anymore just because of some personal issues in his IRL life.
Sure.
And so we actually ended up getting Trainer as a replacement, but at the time he used to play attacker. And so we had Art jungling with Greedent, and I'd play top lane for the qualifiers.
Nice.
But then we switched.
Yeah, we ended up deciding to switch Trainer to jungle because Greninja is his best character.
Okay.
At the time he was playing Solar Bimu.
I love Solar Bimu, but yes, I do love Trainer Greninja just a little bit more. So that is really, really good. Well, let's talk about the team comp then, because we've already kind of danced around it a little bit. We're going to jump past the qualified tournament, a little bit about this March Finals run, break it down. Artrio, you were on your iconic Greedent in that top lane. Rex, you are playing the tree in bot. We still, of course, we have AZ on Hoopa. Also, shout outs to AZ and their Hoopa play. When we were doing our AOS Cup Primer episode just earlier this week, we were talking about how we seriously think that AZ is like top three Hoopa at the very least in NA. Just an incredible support player. So shout out. And then of course, Yeetfan, you are on that attacker role in the bot. You guys have a Decidueye in that slot. So weird picks kind of across the board, Trainer. Your Greninja isn't exactly strange, but I mean, in NA, it still wasn't the most popular choice at the time. Guys, how did this team comp even come to be in the first place?
So I wasn't playing Tree yet for the March finale. I was playing Slowbro at the time because okay. I knew the main pick was Darilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at first I was playing Blissey like during that tournament, and I made the switch to Slowbro after talking to like couple of other tanks because I realized you wanted to play Decidueye because that was the character he was the most comfortable on at the time, and it honestly was really good against Darilladon because you know you get into that so I was like, I'll play Slowbro, I'll lock him in, and I'll tell Art or AZ depending on the other enemy team comes to follow me up and then just let Yeet and Trainer clean up after, because after Yeet's finished ulting them, then I know Trainer can come in and surf through them all.
Right.
So I told them, like, let's just run our best picks, because honestly, right now, these picks are really good against Darilla, and we can lock him down and keep him from doing what he wants to do, and we just can win.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so the team comp was definitely picked more so on the side of this is what we're really good at. We want to do something that we excel with, right?
Yeah, exactly. I really feel like we... Honestly, our comp, a lot of people after the March Finals were saying, or during the March Finals really, were saying, oh, we have some kind of genius counter comp for Darilladon.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, we're just all playing our best characters.
That's hilarious. Well, it definitely worked out for you guys, so that's yeah, fantastic.
They definitely were good against Darilladon. I'm not debating that.
Sure, yeah.
That helped. But we're still, after that tournament, Duraludon got nerfed. We're still able to, I think, get the work done with the same characters.
Makes sense. Well, fantastic. I mean, yeah, your team comp was a lot of fun. Yes, it definitely did get praised as the counter comp for Duraludon. It is a little funny to me to hear that that was not why this comp was brewed up. But hey, all's well that ends well in that kind of scenario. So fantastic work. All right. Well, you guys come with this crazy counter comp. All right. By accident, but fantastic. You guys are playing it throughout the entire turn. Did you play it through the entire March Finals tournament, like from start to finish?
I switched. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were saying that was in qualifiers, but okay.
No, so
that
I was playing Blissey in the start, right?
Gotcha.
I'm going to cleanse my entire team, whatever. Because at the end of the day, like, I can play a bunch of different tanks.
Yep.
So I can always change, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Blissey right now is strong against the Lura because she cleanses and we can live past his depulse, etc. Sure. But we lost a TTV with it, and I realized we were losing damage on Blissey, and there was not enough engage.
Okay.
And on top of that, like, there was nobody that could really lock down their jungler. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to play Slowbro, and I'm going to go in, and I'm just going to lock people down, and then just believe in my team to finish cleaning up.
Hmm.
So that's why I switched to Slowbro. And then from finals, honestly, we too old everybody all the way up to the grand finals reset. So it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's talk a little bit about your bracket run here. So you, right off the start, you were paired up against IX Gaming. Not a not an easy opponent by any means, but you're able to take them down. Wait, I am looking at the right bracket, right? Did you play IX first?
Did we? No, I don't think we
did. I'm looking at the wrong bracket. That's something else. All right, that was a made-up bracket. Okay, no matter what. Guys, you able to go through on a really, really nice run. You were knocked down to losers by GG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got you. You're knocked down by GG. You make the adaptation. You run it all the way back up through losers to make it to the grand finals to play up against Blossom. Talk to me about this run. Were there any like really big games like throughout the losers bracket? I know you mentioned you were saying that you were 2-0-ing most of your opponents. Did any of them feel like really close or like real banger matches?
The hardest matches we had the whole tourney, and I know it kind of sounds dumb because we did end up losing a Blossom, was honestly against Full Sen at the time when Redla was still on the team. They were, you know, I'm not going to lie, they were definitely diffing us.
Okay.
And the issue was that I think that played dividends for us was that they were coming off a hard loss to Blossom. And then I guess I heard that Celestial was mental booming or whatever, but they were still doing really good, right? So during that time, and we knew that we needed to play well, even with us things not going our way, like the dreads, whatnot.
Sure.
We had like there was those two games, like it came down to us only having two pads while they still all had their pads, and we ended up just winning at Zap fights. Those games were definitely the hardest,
okay?
Because we lose those two, like we go home, we don't make top four, and it's all that stuff that comes along with it. But yeah, like. We definitely had to dig in and play from behind both those games and figure out a way to win, because there was definitely a couple games, those two games, there was definitely a couple times we could have got Yamada and even had the time to, you know, to come back and win.
Okay, well, awesome. That's really fantastic. So Full Send, of course, is an extremely strong opponent. You're actually going to be having them in your group in AOS Cup this time, a slightly different roster. But, of course, you are going to be going up against Full Send again. I like this little bit of Nemesis-Full Send rivalry. A little bit, depends on how you want to describe it. It's going to be an exciting one. But either way, the tournament ends with you guys making it, and you get to do the bracket reset, but eventually, unfortunately, you do fall prey to Blossom in this tournament. They make some adaptations, try to outplay your composition a little bit. Guys, why do you think that run ended just after the reset? Did you feel that your team just ran out of steam a little bit? Did your comp get solved? There was a lot of talk about what went down in that grand finals. How about you guys?
So the issue was during that was that we didn't have Trainer on comms the entire grand finals, even before the resets. His phone had died or whatever, so we were kind of playing with just the four of us, and then just trying to hope and pray Trainer could somehow know what we were thinking. And that was kind of difficult because obviously they were running counter comps for us,
right?
So I couldn't help tell him what I wanted to do, and and I'm sure it was hard for him. I mean, he could probably explain his side of things. I never really talked to him about it. We kind of just pretended like it never happened.
It just never happened. All right, Trainer, what was it like playing Dark in the grand finals of a monthly final?
Honestly, I just went through what our usual strategies are, like going through bot, and I try to assume what Rex would want to do. But until the reset, I kind of got mental boomed a bit, and I stayed top for like a whole minute or two, which was like our disadvantage.
It happens. Well, either way, now you've had about a month to get a phone charger. You're going to be all set. Next tournament, you guys are going to be locked in and all set. So let's start talking a little bit about AOS Cup then. So March Finals, a hype finish. It's got to be frustrating to win that first match and then lose in the reset. But still, there was outside factors as a part of it. And let's face it, second place is worth a ton of championship points. And it's going to be very, very important heading into regionals in the end. But you were able to net yourself a top four placement, which got you a first seed in this going into group stages. So let's talk all things AOS Cup. First off, I want to hear what you guys think about having a group stage 2-day tournament as a part of this circuit. It's definitely the first time we've seen that. It is paired with more rewards, points, and some cash on the line. So that's definitely very exciting. A lot more to play for. But how about this group stage kind of philosophy in the tournament? Do you think that this adds more pressure, that there's just going to be more games and only 2 seeds make it out of each group? Or do you think this actually is the opposite, takes off a little bit of pressure because you have more chances to win, more time to really get your feet under you before you head into bracket play?
I like it, honestly. Okay. I think that the only thing that I think that's unfortunate is how some of the groups are, namely Group A. I think a lot of those teams are extremely strong.
Uh-huh.
And it's unfortunate that they're all in the same group together.
Mm.
While some of the other groups, you know, not knocking them, but they're not as strong.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I think that group is good because, you know, you don't get unlucky with bracket, right? Because sometimes, you know, this, like I say it all the time to my team, like this game right now, the way it is, it's all matchups, right? Hmm. Certain teams play better against certain teams, right? They just match up better. So now in group stage, at least, like, if you're going to make it out, you deserve it. And you know it's not a fluke, right? Because you got to play everybody once. It's not like you beat somebody and you make it a quarters or semis or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to play everybody once, and then whoever the better teams are, they're going to come out of those groups.
Definitely. Yeah, I really like it too. Rest of the squad of Aphelion, do any of you, do you share the same sentiments as Rex, or do any of you just not like this group stage kind of format we're going into?
Honestly, I'm fine with it.
Cool.
Like a little round robin, full of stake on it.
Right. Yeah, with a little bit of skin in the game for sure. It's gonna be an exciting tournament. But let's talk about your group then. You have Fullsend, like I was mentioning, a little bit of your rivals, as I like to call them in the scene. You also have Low Expectations, a kind of a pickup squad, but one that's been making waves already. They were able to knock GG down and essentially ruin Group A. So Group A, you can thank Low Expectations for that. And Actual Trash in your group. So you're headed into a group. You know the teams that you're about to play in a week and a half. Is your team preparing specifically for any of these teams? Are you guys trying to, you know, play to how they play, try to counter them at all? Or are you just trying to figure out how your team wants to play and worrying about your own game plan?
I think for the teams in Group B, it's not necessarily what we're worried what they're going to play, mm-hmm. per se. It's, we're just, I mean, I know what they want to do. Like, I know how their tendencies are. Like, that's what I study more than picks, in my opinion. Like,
if
I know a certain team is flippy,
uh-huh.
per se, I know I'm going to fight them early, right? I'm not going to let them flip.
Mm-hmm.
And playing against a team like, let's say, Fullsend, and now that I've seen Low Expectations play a little bit more, I know they tend to flip if they get the opportunity to.
Okay.
So definitely that's things that I look out for. I look how they position. I look at, you know, I listen to their shot callers. I listen to that sort of stuff. So I know, like, okay, this is the type of play he's going to make at this time.
Yeah.
Like, I study those type of things. Like, in terms of picks, I already know kind of what every player plays because I have teamed with Celestial in the past. Mm-hmm. And I have played with Uzi and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's more so just strategy at this point, preparing the correct strategies to get the best results.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's awesome. Artrio, I'm curious to ask, as the, you know, solo lane player that has to play in the top lane, I'm sure that you're still going to be using the Greedent a little bit. Maybe we'll have to talk about the nerfs if they actually will make any change to your game plan. But you're headed up against some pretty strong Lucario players in the top lane across the board. I mean, you have Reese and Low Expectations. You have who's going to be Bulby playing for Fullsend as well. So definitely a couple of other really strong top lane players. Do you do the same thing as Rex? Do you try to study tendencies of your matchups in top lane? Or, again, is the question simply, I try to play my game to the best of my ability, not worrying about what the other player does?
No, certainly you can notice that some players tend to play different. Like, they might go safe clear,
mm-hmm.
or they might go for the crab and challenge you, or there's some players that I know that like to challenge my monkey, so I keep that in mind.
Okay.
So I let my jungler know what they plan to do or what they're doing, but That's how it goes for me.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. I mean, and of course, like, in the NA region, you are playing against these teams constantly. You guys are playing against ladder, maybe in scrims and things like that. You're definitely getting to know these tendencies at this point in time. The scene has developed to a certain point in Unite for sure, but we are just, like, very familiar with the group of players that you're going up with constantly. But either way, Full Send, Low Expectations, An Actual Trash, and Nemesis, or now Aphelion. Group A is a group of death for sure. This is no slouch of a group either. There are some extremely good teams within this group. Of course, your team is going to be included in that. I know your pick is definitely going to be you're making out of groups. If you had to pick out of these other three teams, who do you think is the other squad making it out of the group stage?
It's tough to say. I feel like I really feel like the other three teams in our group are pretty slept on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people might look at the group and say, oh, we should definitely be able to qualify easily in Full Send or maybe even Low Expectations. But I think Actual Trash, all three of them have a chance at
it's true.
Winning games on us.
Smushy Mammo and, is different. It's a tough matchup, yeah, too.
Yeah, I think any of the teams are capable of winning games against any of the other teams, even a series. So, I think on paper, most people would probably say Full Send, but Low Expectations beat TTV or GG, whatever you want to call them now. And I wouldn't sleep on Actual Trash either, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Personally, I'll have to say I'll give it to Low Expectations, though.
Wow, okay, interesting. So Low Expectations getting the vouch over Full Send. Trainer, how about you? Out of those three teams in your group stage, I'm going to rephrase the question a little bit for you, though. Which team are you most excited to play against in this group stage? You get to play all three. Which match are you looking forward to the most?
Honestly, I'm looking forward to Full Send because they were, like, very close with us most tourneys.
That'll be a fantastic game.
I really want to fight Blossom.
Yeah, you want that run back?
Yeah.
Good. No, that's fantastic. I'm cheering for the run back too. That's going to be a fantastic game if it gets to happen. That's awesome. One thing we actually need to talk about in this tournament format is something that I was discussing with Sneaky Seal earlier this week, is an interesting take on how this round robin moves on. We talked ad nauseum about the tiebreak rules and how they're a little strange, definitely, in this tournament so far. But other than that, I don't know if you guys got to watch any of the Korean AOS Cup or the Japanese AOS Cup. Both of those brackets were seeded completely randomly after group stage. We saw, like, in both tournaments, one instance of, like, two group members playing each other first round in bracket. Which is wild to me that that happens, but it looks like that may be a chance for this AOS Cup. So, as much as I'd love to see intergroup play happen immediately after the group stage, who knows? We might have anything. So when it comes to preparation, you guys have a lot of work ahead of you for sure. Rex and Artriyu, though, I do want your picks. Who do you think is making it out of this group stage other than your team?
I think Low Expectations could make it out. Yeah, I think they can make it out. It's between them and Full Send.
For sure. For me. What do you think Low Expectations' biggest strength is right now? Like, Yifei was mentioning, definitely a slept-on team, but they were able to beat TTV. Is it that, you know, momentum coming from that last tournament that's given them the, you know, vote of confidence from Artriyu? Or is it something else about that team that gives them a little bit of an edge in this group stage?
I'm not sure. I think it's a team of some good players. Yeah. I think they're all good players, and I think they just have the ability to win a set against anybody in our group.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a lot of friends on that team as well. I'm rooting for them. I think they're a fantastic squad, but they're in a group of other fantastic players for sure. Rex, your vouch, are you also going with Low Expectations, or do you think Full Send is going to be joining you guys on the way out of group stage?
I'm a big fan of Uzi.
Yeah, baby. I love Big Uzi.
I want Big Uzi to win.
All right.
I think he's been putting in the time.
True.
And from what I know that Full Send hasn't been playing as often.
Yeah.
So I think it really comes down to how hungry Low Expectations is. And I know they want to win, and I know they want to show that they're a good team. So
fair enough.
I give it a Big Uzi and Co.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, no, shout out to Big Uzi. I'm so happy you're here too as well. We love Uzi on Overdunk. But guys, last thing I want to talk about AOS Cup before we get into the myriad of in-game news that we have to break down and discuss is honestly, guys, your reputation of Nemesis, or now Ophelion, but the Nemesis name is definitely an interesting one in terms of how people talk about your team in power rankings. Now, you did place second in the March finals, but I don't see that many people considering your team to be even in the top three. Right now, I mean, that's definitely, I mean, what do you think you would have to do in AOS Cup to really, like, break out of that narrative to be considered to be a top three, two, number one team in the scene? And I guess a better way to phrase this question is, what do you think is a good placement for Nemesis? Is first place the only thing that matters to your team? Nothing else will be satisfactory? Or do you honestly think that, like, if we make top four, that's a success for us in tournament?
I know top four is a success, and but I'm sure I think everybody on our team really wants the first place.
Right. I think that's a good way to put it, being like, listen, top four is the goal, obviously, but we know we can win first. I think that is a good answer to that question on this you know, kind of abstract test I put before you. Rex, how about you? AZ is saying that first place or nothing in chat, so just know that you've got a very competitive Hoopa player on your team. But Rex, how about you? What do you think is placement that is satisfactory for Felion?
So, I mean, our last three tourney placements have been 2-2-1.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good average.
So I'm with AZ, bro. Okay. I think it's time we get that first place, collect the bag.
Nah, I'd like to hear it. And, yeah, with cash on the line, man, Felion's going to be different, baby. We got... I love that. Okay, well, awesome. Well, AOS Cup has everything going for it to be the best Pokemon Unite tournament that we have had so far. This money, points, all the best teams, group stage, new format, everything included is going to be fantastic. The one caveat is that we just had a patch today. And you guys have about a week and a half to figure out all that truly means. Guys, first opinions on this patch. Score comp's kind of been gutted. Score shield now goes on the top of any kind of shield that you are given. It's only 10%. It'll be broken pretty quickly. Tunes on a bunch of relevant Pokemon. Lucario's been changed. Ninetales have been changed. Talonflame Brave Bird is like a tiny little circle now. I was watching it. It's hilarious to watch. I think it's still probably fine, but it is just funny how small it is compared to before. Lots of changes. How do you guys feel that your team's going to fare going into this new patch?
I think that I like our chances with this patch, okay. Honestly. I think I'm more confident now with this patch than I was before.
Okay.
I think that it's going to be more so about initiation in team fights than it is about who can buddy barrier the best, right? And
yes.
A lot of the times, like especially in the G4 tourney, I just felt like I would get like really good initiation sometimes, but it'll all be like nullified by like three buddies that came out of nowhere for our Venusaur.
Yes.
So I'm just there like, what I do all this? I did all this to just not even do any type of damage to him and just a bunch of buddy barriers on top of him. So
right. The Protect the President was strong. That that tournament.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. But Yeah, that's how I feel about it, at least for me.
Gotcha. Okay. Trainer, as the jungle player for your squad, definitely a lot of these, you know, kind of, we like to call them hidden changes, not published in patch note changes, are going to be most effective to you. That has been a pretty much wash of experience being lowered across the board. Jungle camps included, APOMs and core fish in lane, autonomes as well, all that. Level 5, it seems to be just barely out of reach for junglers at first bees whenever they want to gank top or bottom. Have you got a chance to play very much on this patch yet? How are you feeling about these experience changes so far?
I mean, we just played before this, but we just gotta wait like a couple seconds for passive XP to hit 5, and if not, I take some of back core fish.
Okay, gotcha.
Also, the late game is a lot better. Since there's less buddies, I get to go triple damage.
Ooh, the return of triple damage Greninja. I love to see it. Eyes closed, head first, can't lose. That's my favorite strategy. So that's really, really good to hear. Atreyu, we got to talk about it. Greedent was subjected to a lot of small changes, maybe a death by a thousand cuts, if you will. But I don't know if they quite got to the point where we're going to be taking out our beloved Squirrel out of the game quite yet. Atreyu, is Greedent gone forever, or is this Pokemon still a very good pick in this meta right now?
It's still a very good pick, especially for late game, like it has always been, but after these experience changes in the game, his early is kind of rough, so
yeah.
But once you manage to get out of that spot, you can...
Gotcha.
The squirrel is back.
The squirrel is back. So now not only is Yeet having to claim in comms that he's just scaling, it's fine. Now our Atreyu will also have to be shouting that they are scaling, it's fine. Ooh, that's too bad. But okay, well, as soon as you hit those level spikes, you'll definitely be moving on. Guys, I've heard some interesting talk about other regions, especially outside of NA, have done a lot of jungle splitting, making sure that experience is divvied out, trying to rapidly reach those power spikes on Pokemon, especially the level 4 evolutions like A9 and things like that. Do you think those experience changes are going to actually lead into more of these strategies of split jungle? Trainer, you just mentioned that sometimes you got to steal your top lane's back core fish to hit that 5. Are we going to see more and more of that across the board as teams try to find, you know, these slight advantages in the level race?
I feel that just with the changes in XP, I feel like it's even, or in just the items as well, with the reduction of health from Buddy Barrier, people not even using Buddy, I think it's even more important that jungler comes down 9, like guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because it's just devastating getting ulted by a Greninja at 9 and
you not having anything, anything in return.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
I enjoyed seeing the splitting of XP, but due to how much less XP you get now, that it's just seems like it's not even, I mean, at least to me, it seems like it's not even worth it. But I mean, I don't know what the rest of my team thinks.
True. Trainer, are you able to hit 9 by first dread at any kind of consistent basis?
Yes, I can. I still hit 9. Because with the damage, triple damage, I'm starting to get Bs and my clear is a lot faster than before.
Okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, that makes sense. If you can definitely win Bs, if Atreyu can give you the space you need to take up all those Combis and Vespiquen, then yeah, level 9 will definitely be an easier grab. But I think it's just the general consensus is that it's just a little bit tougher of a fight to be able to get to that level lead. So it's going to be an interesting meta that we're headed into. The fact of the matter is you have about a week to figure that out. Guys, we just need to talk about it quickly. If you have no opinions on it, totally fine. But what do we think about the precedent, something like this happening? A balance change that does affect the game in a lot of ways. We might find that after we've deciphered this meta, after we've built around it, teams have teched, maybe things haven't changed that much. But on the surface level, things have changed quite a bit. The score shield change might be the biggest out of all of them. It's happening a week and a half before a big tournament. Is this okay? Is this something unacceptable for the tournament scene? What are you guys' opinions on that?
I think that is, respectfully, I think it's a little cringe.
Yeah, sure. Respectfully cringe. I get that.
I think that, like, you know, we scrim every week, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're preparing for this patch or whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with minor changes, right?
Sure.
And, like, certain characters might come in favor. But, like, I don't think anybody was expecting a patch like this, right? Because the night before, everybody was saying, like, oh, nothing's going to get changed. We got all this inside info. And then I wake up in the morning and I see, oh, yeah, Buddy Bear doesn't stack anymore. Oh, yeah, Sword Shield is trash now.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, everything's dude, like, changed. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, this is. And then I hop on to play and the game is completely different. I got to be more wary of entry damage.
Oh,
I gotta definitely. I got to be more cognizant of, like, all right, I can't. Where's my team? I can't go in 1v5 anymore. I got to be a little bit more patient, pick my spots a little better. So
that's true.
It's just a completely different game, and it's just unfortunate that it's a week before. I wish we had a little bit more time to prep.
Yeah, definitely.
It is.
Yeah, I agree. I think respectfully cringe is a great way to describe it. However, in a slight like other side of the argument, I am. This tournament was delayed, right? Like, AOS Cup for NA and EU was pushed back originally. In my mind, they must have planned this patch to happen after AOS. Like, for as much as I can tell. I mean, it happened after Japan and Korea's AOS Cup, which I know they were all originally planned for the one weekend, and then things were moved back. I don't know why things were moved back. It could have been broadcast centric, could have been TPCI, like Pokemon Company International. Who knows? But in my mind, I don't think these things were timed randomly. It seems like they were meant to be after the AOS Cup, but who knows? I'm just curious as to what happened. But all right. Well, that being said, the Japanese and Korean AOS Cups were happening just last weekend, right? I think was when the tournaments were going down. Any of you guys have the chance to watch those tournaments from these other regions? Do you guys enjoy watching games from other regions, or do you like just to focus in on NA?
I saw a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, I saw, like, the score strats, and I saw, like, I kind of had a feeling, like, that they were going to do something with Greedon, because it's, like, every game that I watched, it was, like, Greedon, and they were doing all these tactics and stuff with it, and it's just, and then on top of that, like, it's one thing that I found interesting about Japan is, like, or I'm not sure if it was Korea, it was one of the two, that they didn't run tanks like that.
Yeah,
like, it was kind of strange, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it worked. I guess it worked in their region. I guess different regions have different metas, but it was kind of interesting to see that, you know, they weren't running tanks and they preferred like the 2-1-2. Just a lot of different things, I guess. Mm-hmm. I do think though, after watching that, I definitely feel like NA is a lot stronger.
Okay.
In those regions, especially now that score strat is nerfed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, NA is your vote for kind of the stronger region, maybe EU tied up in there, but who knows. How about the rest of the team? Do you guys think that NA and just the Western meta is that much farther ahead than the Japanese and Korean counterparts?
I mean, personally, I've always thought that the NA, quote-unquote, way of playing, as in team fighting, playing a team fight comp over a comp meant to try to score as much as possible. I always thought that was the better way and also much more entertaining way of playing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm more fully on board with that. Yes.
A lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun to play, fun to
watch. Score comp is pretty lame, in my opinion.
Respect.
I think it worked. I think it respectfully cringe.
Yeah.
I feel as though it worked a lot better when people didn't understand it.
Okay.
Because I remember when people first started playing score comp, I probably lost like 25 games in a row to score comp.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, and that was kind of how everybody in NA was at the same time. Everybody was getting destroyed by the first Japanese people playing score comp.
Yep, that's true.
And but I feel as though people kind of figured out what score comp tries to do, and now team fighting comps lose a lot lower percentage of games to score comps.
Absolutely. Well,
and now score comp is kind of completely gutted.
Yeah,
with the score shield and buddy nerf.
Shout outs to Overcap in I think they're in Group C, but Oof. Good luck. Good luck out there, guys. You're right. You got to go back to the lab, I think. We're going to have to find something new. Team name change, whatever you got to do. But it's looking bleak out there for those guys. Okay. Awesome. So NA, EU, these Western kind of team fight-based regions, we are of a consensus. I, of course, am agreeing with you. I've always thought that is the stronger way to play. Even showcasing Japan, the anti-score comp is the one that won the entire tournament. So shout-outs to them. They were able to decipher a way of how to beat it, implemented it very well. A lot of jungle camp splitting just to shut down these split pushes, but it worked, and they were able to take on the championship. So there we go. There's all of our proof, and now that point is kind of moot because the score shield doesn't work anymore. So who cares? But that being said, Worlds is coming up way sooner than I think a lot of us could think. Just honestly, a few months away. Two teams will be representing NA to go and have, of course, cross-region competition for the first time officially. Of course, we've had, you know, community tournaments and things like that playing with our, you know, European friends and even playing some show matches against Japan in the early days. However, regionals happens right before that. Two seeds make it out of NA, get to go to the World Championships, represent the region. If our regional championship happened this weekend instead of, you know, a few months away like it is now, if it happened this weekend, in your team's mind, who were the two teams representing NA at Worlds in London?
I would say
your team and
obviously my yes. team, and I got a lot of faith in GG.
Okay. So much faith in GG. All right. Interesting. Okay. How about you, Yifan? Who do you think is the other team, other than your team, that you think would be representing NA at Worlds?
Yeah, I agree with Rex. I feel as though GG, aka TTV, is the one of the probably the best team, in my opinion, still.
Okay.
I think we can compete with them, but I think their macro, they have the best macro in the entire Unite scene, and they're a really good team.
Yeah, and it sounds like with this new patch, macro is going to be even more important than it was in previous settings, so very interesting. Trainer, how about you? Are you on this same train, or do you think that another team currently holds that number two spot right now?
No, right now TTV got it.
Wow, their
team fight and macro is amazing, and since Buddy got nerfed, they can be more precise in their play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely seems like this Buddy nerf is going to be raising that skill ceiling or skill floor, honestly, for sure. Yeah. You know, some teams may be getting a little bit of a get out of jail free card with these mass Buddy barriers, but no longer the case. Archeryu, how about you? Who is the other team that you think deserves to wave the NA flag in London at Worlds?
I'm on the same train as everyone. Shoo shoo. You team.
Amazing. Dude. Okay. So TTV still gets the vouch. That is so funny. I feel like I have been going to bat for teams like Blossom and Blackhand for so long to be above. Like, we were, like I said, we were doing that episode earlier this week, and everybody was like, yeah, GG's winning this tournament. GG's winning this tournament. I was like, guys, they didn't even make top four last tournament. Like, are we going to trust them so quickly? But I think I'm in the wrong. I mean, if your whole team is choosing them to be the best in the game right now, despite their recent results, I mean, I gotta trust the people I have on this podcast, because they are all way smarter than I am. So I gotta make sure that I'm giving the shout. GG and Nemesis for Worlds. You heard it here first. Use whatever hashtags are appropriate, but that's awesome. Well, guys, we're coming close to the end of the show. One thing I want to ask you first is that we got to see some crazy guy. We got to see the Nemesis comp, right, in March Finals. So exciting. Big change. There was a tree on the screen. Everyone went nuts. Twitch chat loved you, Rex. However, I need to ask, are there any more secret strats coming out of the Aphelion camp that, you don't have to share them, but are there any, you know, Ooga Booga secret stuff?
Of course.
Okay. Any, do I get a hint?
You know what? I'll leak one thing.
Okay.
One thing for the stream.
Full fan.
Watch out for the Cramorant.
Oh, yes, sir! He's back, baby! Oh, man, are we talking like air slash dive Cramorant, or are we going back to old CC?
We can't get that deep into
no,
it.
No, okay, all right. I'll theory craft later. Awesome. All right, very cool. So you have, there you go, the secret strat leaks coming out. Well, awesome. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It's been so much fun to have Nemesis, a.k.a. Aphelion, your new signing. So congrats on the signing. Big congrats on your second place finish in the March finals, by the way. I feel like I didn't say it enough on this podcast episode. You guys have seriously been tearing it up. G4, of course, also an incredible placement for you guys. You guys have been absolutely crushing it in the tournament scene lately, and AOS Cup's going to be no different. Good luck out there. Very excited to watch it. As we're bringing to the end of the show, I'm going to give each of you a chance to plug all your stuff. This is your chance to sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do. Where can people find you on the internet? All of that good stuff. Let's start it off with you, Archryu. Sell out everything.
You can find gameplay of me, my Twitch. I stream sometimes twice a week. Okay. But I plan to stream more. And my Twitter too.
Awesome.
Which is the same name, Archryu.
Okay, fantastic. Twitter.com/Archryu. Make sure you go and follow. Rex, how about you?
Rex AE, pretty much for everything. Pretty cut and dry.
Fair enough.
Twitch, Twitter, etc.
Okay, awesome. Hey, plug that Medify too, Rex. Come on.
All right, yeah. Medify, you can, for any of your coaching needs, Rex one, it'd be Rex190. But you can also see it on my Twitter if you can't find it. Medify itself for sure.
Cool.
I'll
well,
you guys, anything you need.
I know everybody listening is already on your Twitter profile page because we sent them over there to go follow. Make sure you do it. Yifan, how about you? Where can people find you on the internet? Anything to plug? Anything to shout out?
Rather, I don't. I actually don't use any social medias. I mean, unless you want to count Twitch, stream.
Do it.
Very rarely. I'm a horrible streamer.
Well, if you want an inside look on the...
My Twitch is just Ethan, yeah.
Sounds good. Well, you heard it here first on the podcast. We're no longer seeing the green bird from Ethan. It will be the blue cowboy bird, so everyone get excited for that. Trainer, how about you? Anything to plug? Anything to shout out?
Probably Twitter, which is LGC_0718.
All right.
Yeah.
Gamer numbers in the app. I love to hear it. Make sure to go follow there, everybody. Also, shout outs to your manager, Slotty, as well as your last member of the team who unfortunately couldn't make it, but AZ as well, Azible, fantastic support player. You guys are going to tear it up. Congrats on the Aphelion signing, all that good stuff. Quick Unite mics, plugs, and things like that. We've had a bunch of content on the channel recently. We got a couple of episodes of Overdunk that have come up pretty rapidly. This one, of course, is going to be up on YouTube. YouTube.com/UniteMics. Make sure you go follow there. Our podcasts, plural, Overdunk and Late Night Unite, are all published there as well. So make sure you go check out the videos. And if you want to listen to this in podcast form, Overdunk is on every podcast thing you can find. So Google Play, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. Go on there. If you listen there, why don't you leave a 5-star review? Helps other people find the show. That'd be awesome. So, but all of that aside, thank you so much for joining. They have been Aphelion. I have been Zoinks. Thank you so much for joining Overdunk, and we will see you all next time. Goodbye.